Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And by the way, Anthony, I just wanted to first say that it's really great to have you back, and I hope you're feeling better.
Thanks, Meghna. I appreciate that. It's good to be back, even if I seem to have returned with someone else's voice. But I expect my own voice will find its way back soon. In any event, our next segment is about food, a Boston area institution, and a well-known chef. And Meghna, let me ask you this. What makes a great restaurant, in your view? What are the key characteristics that keep you coming back?
Well, I mean, great tasting food. I like food with bold taste, a relaxed atmosphere. Too many starchy white cloths make me a little nervous. And just really friendly staff and a great price point.
All right. Well, here's my short list. When you walk in, you're greeted by the fragrance of real wood smoke and wood-fired meat and fish. Add to that a commitment to fresh food, a congenial bartender who always greets you with a smile and who knows how to mix a good sturdy drink, and maybe even a raw bar where you can start your dinner with a couple of fresh oysters.
Yum.
And that's exactly what you get at the East Coast Grill in Inman Square in Cambridge. And they've been doing that for the past 25 years, and I'm betraying a bit of a bias here. In a city that's become a great eating town, the East Coast Grill is my neighborhood joint. It's probably one of my favorite restaurants in the city. But Meghna, I'm worried.
Well, after that great description, why?
Okay, so here's the deal. So Chef Chris Schlesinger opened the East Coast Grill in 1985. It was one of the first places to feature food cooked on a wood-fired grill, and he did it so well that in 1996 he won the James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Northeast. But now, after more than 25 years, Chris Schlesinger is selling the East Coast Grill. So this is why I'm worried. And he's here to talk to us about why he's selling, about how the restaurant industry has changed in Boston over the decades, and about some of his secrets of the grill. And Chris Schlesinger, it's great to have you in. Thanks for coming into Radio Boston.
Great to be here, and thanks for all the kind words. That's a great description of the restaurant.
Well, I got to tell you, it's funny that I haven't met you over the years, because I really have been coming in there, and I really do love the mix of great food. I think Meghna sort of made a nice description, too. Casual atmosphere, yet you guys are obviously serious about food. But before we talk about that, why are you selling?
Well, it just seemed like a good time. I've been doing it 27 years, and there were some signs out there for me. And my chef of 6 years and my GM approached me about the possibility of taking it over, and I thought the timing was right. And
so you're moving on.
Moving on.
Well, as I said, I'm worried about this because I think one of the things the East Coast Grill has represented is a chef-owned restaurant where the chef owner was always there or usually there. And
right.
I got to believe that that has a lot to do with the quality that has maintained so well over the years.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think it's also about all the people that have worked there over the years, you know, all the servers that have gone through and all the cooks that have gone on to do different things. And I think what the East Coast Grill has always been about is kind of a set of values about, you know, kind of bold flavors and a certain type of hospitality. And that's why I'm excited about the chef Jay Hurd and Robbins Greenspan taking it over from me, because I think I see the same excitement that I felt in their eyes and the same excitement when they come to work every day. So,
as I said, I'm worried about this news. You're suggesting that I shouldn't be, because it's going to be, you're selling it essentially to folks who are still there and who have been steeped in the ethos of the East Coast. Right.
Well, there's an old joke in the business. It's who does the cooking when you're not there? And the answer is the same people that do the cooking when I am there.
So, yeah. I see. Okay. Well, listeners, we're talking with Chris Schlesinger. He's the owner of the East Coast Grill, which first opened its doors in Cambridge back in 1985. The big news is that he's selling it, but he assures us that the East Coast Grill is here to stay. What questions do you have for him about eating in this city? Have you sampled his fare on Hell Night when everything is super spicy? Or have you read his book, The Thrill of the Grill? What questions do you have for Chris Schlesinger about food, restaurants, and grilling? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So Chris, 25 years is a long time. And I wondered, can you bring us back to 1985 when you first opened the East Coast Grill? Boston has developed a reputation as a pretty good place to eat. It wasn't always like that. What was it like back then in 1985?
Well, I actually came to Boston in the late 70s, and after graduating from culinary school and working some seasons down in Florida. And I think food was just starting to take off. Monsef Medeb at L'Espalier and Bruce Frankel over in Main Street and Panache. And Jasper had just opened his restaurant.
It was Jasper White.
Jasper White. And I'd worked at the Harvest in the late 70s, early 80s with Jimmy Burke and Bob Kincaid. And that was the Thompsons wanted to have an avant-garde restaurant. And it was, there were 22, 23-year-old kids. We were buying stuff from France and some of the best food and some of the worst food ever created. And then I, you know, I'd worked in some upscale restaurants and kind of wanted to do my own thing, and had always grilled as a child. You know, my father was a big griller and kind of preferred the more casual style more than the kind of 2-3-star thing that I had done. And
I think what the sense that I've always gotten in your place is you guys are serious about food, but you don't take yourselves so seriously, which is sometimes can happen. It can happen that way in restaurants where you're in a place where the food is serious. And oh, boy, if you don't have a serious attitude about it, you might even be reprimanded. I get a nice balance between the sort of relaxed energy in your place and the seriousness about food.
Like Dolly Parton says, it takes a lot of money to look this cheap. Yeah, so a lot of hard work goes into making it look casual.
But yeah.
Yeah, that was that's certainly one of our goals, is to make people feel comfortable. And
so what was the original inspiration? I mean, what did you see in terms of the sort of universe of eating out that was missing that you wanted to bring?
Well, our timing was very fortunate. What I saw is, you know, the beginnings of, you know, I think at that time it's kind of Paul Prudhomme down in New Orleans had introduced the idea that America had valuable food. And then there was a movement on the West Coast with Chez Panisse and Mark Miller. And and so that was kind of our reaction. We were saying, well, West Coast has a lot of stuff going on, but we're the East Coast grill. And, you know, our idea was kind of, as you said, to, you know, have really good food served in a casual atmosphere, and you didn't have to take food seriously or serve it in a serious environment to have quality food and do interesting things. So.
And the love of the grill and all that nice wood smoky flavor, I mean, is that something you've always been passionate about?
Grew up in the Mid-Atlantic in Virginia, and my father was a classic dad griller. We'd go out on the back porch and he'd test the wind direction and look at the barometric pressure and go through all these, you know, antics and, you know, go ahead and burn the food on the outside and make it raw on the inside and proclaim to everybody that it was the best grilled food ever. So that was kind of my...
And then this sort of influence from the Caribbean, these kind of citrusy, spicy blends that you do a lot of stuff with, right? Where did that come from? I think I was looking for some sound that we put in our billboard, and you were referring to a surfing trip you took down to Barbados that sort of first introduced you to this kind of stuff.
Was in Barbados for a winter. We ran out of money, so we couldn't eat hamburgers, and we had to start eating the local food. And I, you know, the most spicy thing I had had before that was probably Tabasco sauce. But we, you know, started eating local food and, you know, buying fish and using the chilies down there and stuff like that. It was just such a impressionable experience that that's something that I, you know, took with me and carried. And you know, traveling around and going to, I mean, especially with grilling, because if you look at grilling, there's a lot of the world that grills on an everyday basis. It's not a, you know, ritual. It's everyday cooking. And if you look at some of these cultures like the West Indies or Southeast Asia, you see that they bring in a lot of really strong, vibrant, loud, you know, flavors with to match the grill flavoring.
And then, of course, you're famous for really spicy stuff. I have to admit, I'm a bit of a spice wimp, so I'm not a big participant in your hell nights when you serve spicy foods that actually come with legal disclaimers.
I knew you were. I could tell you were an intelligent person.
Like pasta from hell, which features your signature Inner Beauty real hot sauce. Yeah. Where did that idea come from?
Well, you know, like you say, in the early days, we were kind of doing spicy food and using big flavors. So we had a lot of people that would come in and go, well, it's not hot enough. And I was like, well, you know, that's not really the point of the thing. But people said it enough. So I made the Inner Beauty hot sauce, which we bottled for a while. And we made this dish, pasta from hell. And I told the staff at pre-meal, I said, look, this, don't let anybody order this dish. This is just for the people that, you know, want it so hot, but don't talk them out of it because it's really too hot. And that was the end of the story. You tell anybody who likes spicy food, it's too hot, you can't order it. And that's kind of the whole basis of
Helmut. It's like a challenge, right.
Yeah, they come out of the woodwork. They got to have the pasta.
Well, my wife challenged me to eat a hell bone at your bar a few months ago, and that's as close as I ever got
to. Now, to me, that's the perfect, that's the sauce that I was kind of inspired by my time in Barbados, and it's a Scotch bonnet yellow mustard sauce that, to me, is the best kind of heat and full flavor at the same time.
Listeners, we're talking with Chris Schlesinger. He's the owner of the East Coast Grill, which first opened its doors in Cambridge back in 1985. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Our theme is loose, whatever you want to talk to him about the East Coast Grill. He's selling it, about his passion for the grill, or about the overall restaurant scene in Boston. Give us a call. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Very well.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Chris, I have a question for you. Is it normal to black out after eating your pasta from hell?
Is that what happened to you, Mike?
Absolutely not. No, nobody does that. No, no need for any EMTs or fire engines. That's a myth.
Did you? I had finished it, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. I got my T-shirt from Dr. Pepper, and a few hours later, it was the most excruciating feeling in the world.
And did you wake up feeling better? Was there a pain pleasure threshold kind of that you crossed over?
Or
all pain?
The threshold was gone long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Bernadette, who's calling from Hopkinton. Hi, Bernadette. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I was wondering if Chris is going to maintain the current goodness of his restaurant with the next buyer. Is his goal to find someone who will continue its yumminess and its uniqueness?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the reasons that I felt the timing was good to move on, because I do have two people in, my chef and my GM that have been with me for a long time and have bought into the East Coast Grill kind of value system, and it's their intention to run it the exact way it's been run for the past 27 years. So that's one of the reasons why I thought it was a good time to move on.
I want to ask you how you've, and this is sort of a general question about how this works in the restaurant business. I remember way back when the East Coast Grill was just that first narrow room. I think you had maybe 10 tables in there. And then you expanded into the three rooms that you have now. And you may disagree with me, and I hope I'm not sounding like I'm being tough on you. I thought the quality briefly went down when you got bigger.
Yep.
But then you figured out how to sort of right the ship, and I think you've been doing a good job ever since. But this just raises the question about how you set up something so popular and so good and then make it bigger without sacrificing the quality.
Well, the restaurant business is a tough business, and that's part of the challenges that you face every day, is to have a high level of quality and hit it consistently. And that's what, everybody from the servers to the bartenders to the cooks are trying to make that dish the same way each time and serve it fast and efficiently and, without the quality going down, and keeping everybody's, attention to detail and spirits and dedication and all that. It's a struggle every day.
Mm. Let's go to Martin, who's calling from Norfolk. Hi, Martin.
How you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Good. I was wondering what Chris is going to be doing next after that. I still go to the Back Eddy, even though he no longer owns that, and it's still great. When I went to East Coast Grill before that, they were the restaurant that catered my wedding, and he bought it, and it still remained great. So seems like everything he touches is wonderful and stays great, so I can't wait to hear what he's going to be doing next.
It's a great question, Martin, and it was the next set of questions that I wanted to move into. What are you going to be doing next? I can't believe someone with your passion is just going to say, no more East Coast Grill, see you later.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Martin. Well, in the words of Yogi Berra, when you reach the fork in the road, take it. I have no idea. I've signed up for a flower arranging course and, planned my first summer off since I was 15 and haven't really thought about it too much beyond that.
But do you think, is there still a future in cooking and restaurants in Boston? You must have some other ideas sort of percolating there.
I'm going to get over my post-traumatic stress syndrome first before I consider going back into it. I feel so fortunate to, after 27 years of not blowing anything up or not wrecking anything and having some successful restaurants behind me, that I'm I'm going to enjoy that for a period of time.
Well, 27 years in the restaurant business, I think that is one of the things that people who don't work in restaurants forget. I mean, because as customers, we just sort of see the frosting. We come in and get served a beautiful meal, and you sort of move on, and you can easily think, oh, this would be a nice life. But you guys work incredibly hard.
It's a brutal business. I mean, being a restaurant worker is really hard. And then, you know, trying to scrape your life savings together to buy a restaurant when they're, you know, a lot of high quality, dedicated people out there that do that and are not successful in the restaurant business. It's, you know, people work really hard, and to have a successful restaurant is, you know, something that I'm very proud of.
Let me ask you about that, because, I mean, in terms of, I mean, you clearly set up one of the more, you know, successful restaurants in the Boston area. It seems to me, and I may have this wrong, but I'm just going to put it out there, that you resisted the route that a lot of successful chefs take, and that is to sort of look for ways to become a sort of celebrity chef and sort of work in five different enterprises at once. Was that a conscious decision?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I didn't have the opportunity, really. I mean, we did some books and we did some television, things like that. I never got an invitation to go to Las Vegas, but
yeah.
No, I mean, what I always said is when I had one restaurant, I wanted two. And then when I had two, I wanted one. That, you know,
yeah.
Two was, you know, to me, it's a one-on-one business a lot, you know, not only with the guests, but also with the folks that you work with. And, you know, when I had the Back Eddie down in Westport, that just felt like that was, you know, I wanted to make sure I could do one restaurant totally well is a full-time job. And I admire these. You have to build a big organization. I mean, there are a bunch of restaurants in town that groups, and there's so many young people now that are dedicated and go to school and take it so much more seriously than we. I mean, you know, in my day, the folks that got in the restaurant business like I did were you know, didn't make it in college, and so you ended up going to the restaurant business. So,
well, let's take another call. Randall is calling from Revere. Hi, Randall.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Randall.
I used to work for you back in the 80s.
Hi, Jake and Earl's.
Yes, that was my home for a couple of years. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Not bad. I'm an electrician these days, and I turn the radio on, and I hear that you're selling the business, and I was eager to say hi. Is Acar and Elmer still working there?
You know what? They are, Randall. I just left them. They're both at the restaurant today. I'll tell them you said hello.
What an amazing pair of cooks. So my comment was how you talked about the servers and the cooks, and when I was there, I was working first under Casey O'Hara and then
sure.
Under Andy.
Yeah.
And you fostered a sort of a family atmosphere in your restaurant that made everyone succeed, which I wanted to thank you for. I really had a good time working for you.
That's nice of you to say, Randall. I think that's an important thing that we try to do, yeah.
Randall, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Sam, who's calling from Groveland. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sam.
I have a question for you. Can you hear me?
Yep, yes. You're on the air, Sam.
Okay, cool. I was just I just know a lot of celebrity chefs like Tony Maz and the guy from 237 or 247 Tremont have both worked under you. I just want to know if you've been to their restaurants and you think what you think of them and their current food scene in Boston right now.
Well, I think the current food scene in Boston is great. I mean, I think that Boston has a wide range of restaurants from the, you know, the top end to a wide selection of different ethnic restaurants. And Tony and I worked together at the Blue Room. I think Tony's first job was with me at the Blue Room. We didn't work together too long, and I certainly don't take any credit for all his success. Andy Husband's, on the other hand, 647, I take total credit for all of his success.
Andy Husband's is a regular contributor to Radio Boston. We do a segment from Farm to Fork
right.
with Andy.
No,
so are you serious? You take credit for creating Andy Husband's? No.
No, not at all. No, I just...
You're
just get an opportunity to public rib him. I'm going to take it.
Okay. Where do you like to eat? I mean, I'm curious. You talked about the Boston scene as being vital and offering all kinds of opportunities. Where does Chris Lessinger go out to eat?
Well, I'd like, you know, in Cambridge, it's hard for us to get over the river sometimes. So,
that's right.
You know, my friend Steve Johnson in Central Square at Rendezvous.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't he have a background at East Coast Grill? Do I have that right?
Steve worked for a little bit there. Steve and I went to high school together in Richmond, Virginia.
I see.
And so he did some stand-ins at the Grill.
Yeah,
back in the day, Steve's restaurant. Like to go to Frank's Steakhouse in North Cambridge is a favorite of ours. We had a great dinner at Hammersley's the other night, Island Creek, Eastern Standard.
All right. We're talking to Chris Schlesinger. We've got time for one or two more calls. Let's go to Bart, who's calling from Cambridge. Hi, Bart.
Hey, how are you? So one of the comments that I just had a comment about just how nice it is when you walk into the grill and everybody says hello, and when they say thank you when you leave and thanks for coming. It's a very unusual and sort of generous kind of quality to it. The other thing I had was I was just wondering if Chris had a couple of crazy stories from his 26, 27 years.
Of Hell Night in particular.
Crazy, funny things that happened that are just memorable and would be funny for us to hear about.
Chris, what do you think? There must be a funny anecdote or two from Hell Night.
I think the whole thing's been really funny. No, it's been a great time. And, you know, with regards to the hospitality, I think that that's important. I think they're, you know, at the East Coast Grill, we try to draw a distinction between hospitality and service. And we're, you know, try to really focus on hospitality. We focus on service also, but certainly I think being genuinely friendly and letting the, you know, people that work there kind of be who they are and be genuine is an important aspect of that.
So, Bart, thanks so much for the call. I got to tell you, my wife and I sort of courted each other over steak sitting at your bar. You have a terrific bartender named Brian.
Brian, yeah.
Brian, we want to adopt him. We want to make him our foster son. We walk in there and he acts like, you know, this is a sort of long-lost members of his family, but talking about sort of welcoming people in and making them feel comfortable. Terrific guy. What's Brian's last name? I should know.
Coolant.
Coolant.
Yeah.
Good
he
man.
Embodies the East Coast Grill spirit, I think.
Well, he's terrific.
Masters of hellos and goodbyes.
General question about the sort of, you know, overall state of the overall restaurant scene in town. It seems like there's just tons of new places opening up. I mean, we seem to be in this sort of vibrant stage in the Boston area. Is there a point where we get almost too many and sort of have oversaturation, or are you worried about that?
I think a lot of people are asking that question. I mean, the two kind of places that I think of when you mention that are the waterfront, mm-hmm. which added, you know, three or four or five, like very, you know, very large restaurants and seats that weren't here 2 years ago. And the same kind of occurrence in Cambridge on Main Street, where there's been four, five, six new restaurants that have opened. So I think there, you know, there's so many people eating out in for dinner in Boston each night. So I think there is going to be some economic impact.
Well, Chris, I wanted to spend a section, but we're running out of time on just sort of some general questions about grilling and your love of grilling. We have probably only about 30 seconds left. So let me just ask you this. You're a wood fire purist. What's the sort of cardinal rule or the number one mistake people make around grilling?
Anthony, I'd say have two sections of your grill where there's one that's really hot and one that's not so hot,
yeah.
So you can move your food back and forth. It's if you have the whole grill at the same temperature, it's like working with an oven that only works at 500 degrees. So I think creating different heat zones is important.
So you have part of your grill where you might have your coals and then part of the grill where there'll be nothing underneath it. Right.
Right,
so you
exactly.
can sort of shift things back and
yep,
forth.
Exactly.
Well, Chris Schlesinger, thank you for 26, 27 years of great food over there at the East Coast Grill.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
and
me.
And thanks for coming in and talking about it. That's Chris Schlesinger. He's chef owner of the East Coast Grill in Cambridge, which opened its doors in 1985. As we've been reporting, he's going to be selling it soon. And stay with us. Coming up, a secret court at Harvard University expelled students in 1920 for being gay. Now a group of current students wants the university to make amends. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.